Bless everyone. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's just stand and sing that song, Amazing Love. Amen.
And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Oh, I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Sing that again.
Oh, and I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. You're my comforter.
family down there in Lima, amen. Amen. For my brother Bill's funeral will be on Tuesday morning at 11, I believe. And I don't know the exact hours on the funeral home. I don't know if it's 6 to 8. Amen. On Monday night there, so if you want to go there. Amen. But how many have a need of prayer today, amen? Just say, God, I need something from you. I'm just going to ask Brother David Loberger if he'd come lead us in a word of prayer, amen. Also the tithes and the offerings. Song, burdens down, Lord, burdens down, amen. Amen.
Oh, burdens down, Lord, burdens down, Lord, since I laid my burdens down, burdens down, Lord, burdens down, Lord, since I laid my burdens. Amen. Why don't you sing that song? Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Amen. Why don't you greet your neighbor as we sing that song? Amen. Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? Well, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? On a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday. Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? Well, ain't it grand? Love each other. Ain't it grand? Well, sing that song by and by, amen. We are often tossed and driven on the restless seas of time, but we'll understand it better by and by, no matter what, amen. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempest oft succeed a bright sunshine. In the land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand better by and by, by and by, and by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered, oh, we will tell the story, how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are this blessed promise. you, Lord. I have applause, saints. Amen. Just sing that song. I'm going all the way just to see him. Amen. How many are going to go no matter what it takes your whole life? Amen. If you have to get on your knees, you might have to cry. Amen. We're going to see him. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going all the way just to see him. Oh, yes, I'm going way just to see him.
Going all the way just to see him. Lord, I'm going all the way just to see him. The one who suffered and died for me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Praise God. How many love God? Amen. Got a continual confession. Amen. You lay down your profession before God. God, you are my God. You're my number one God. The one I love, the one I serve, the one I will always serve, the one I will be with, my husband, my everything. Amen. Praise God. That's the type of God we serve. Amen. We're going to go ahead and jump into the Word. I don't know how long this will take this morning. Moving away from the church ages this morning, kind of, sort of, and going to work with a different topic this morning, as God has allowed us to, amen. Few of you have talked a little bit about this, but I've never preached on this to the church. And by the grace of God, I pray this will be a blessing to you. It's once again a very scriptural topic here that we have here. I actually have no quotes this morning, but every once in a while they'll come out of the mind. So we'll just see where God will place all that. If you had your Bibles, if you'd like to stand, we'd like to go to Exodus 23, verse 27. We've got a little reading to do here. Music sure sounded really good this morning, too. Amen. Thank God. Brothers are doing a wonderful job there. Exodus 23, verse 27. Now, God here is speaking to Israel, and this is what he tells them. He says, I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I'll make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. What, that they won't listen? No, they're going to turn their backs because they're going to be running. Praise God. Let us confirm this in the 28th verse. He says, and I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. Okay, I'm going to send hornets your way. They're going to get all your enemies out. Amen. I'm going to fight that part of the battle for you. But notice it says, I will not drive them out from thee, from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. Evidently, the beast of the field would be pretty bad to deal with. God is going to leave the inhabitants there little by little, removing them. Now in the 30th verse it says, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Amen. We understand what inheritance is. It's yours, right? Now, 31st verse it says, and I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines. Okay? And from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Amen. Now, notice he's giving them condition now in the 32nd verse. He says, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Amazing. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee, or a trap, right? Okay, so let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we have need of thee this morning, Lord. And, oh God, being a people chosen of the King, Lord, we thank you, oh God, for showing that, Lord, perhaps a little on Wednesday night, God, as we felt your spirit here, Lord. And, God, we just thank you, Lord, for all those little times you visit, God, those times that you, Lord, we may not even feel you, Lord, but we know that your word is confirmed, oh God, it's straight from the mouth of God, Lord. And God, we don't want to be nothing, oh God, less than a mouthpiece of God. That, Lord, the very oracles of God could come forth through these lips, God. God, I just would like to give myself wholly to you right now, God, that you would use me, God, to speak your word, Lord. God, this is a church, oh God, that is called to a higher calling, Lord. We just ask, God, it's certainly, Lord, take control of your church, God. Take control of our hearts, God. Take control, Lord Jesus, of all the things we allow to inhabit our land, God. And Lord, we just ask, God, you'd certainly, Lord, bring deliverance, bring strength, God. Bring in occupants, Lord, to these vessels, God, which you, O God, have not called vessels only, but you have called temples, God. May we, O God, conquer these temples, Lord, and drive out all the wickedness from them, Lord, and allow nothing but faith, O God, to dwell there, Lord. We just ask, God, you'd certainly have your way, God. And we just want you, Lord Jesus, to, Lord, help us in our unbelief, God, how we need you more than ever before. We just pray you'd speak now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, amen. You may be seated. We had a title for this morning's sermon. We'd like to entitle it, Removing Your Philistines. I'm watching yawns everywhere. Hold on tight. So remember, your God is here. Let's do our best just to hold on to Him this morning. Do your best to make God preach to you, amen. It's that type of God that we need in an hour such as this, amen. And we want God to certainly feel welcome in this house, amen. Praise God. So, entitling this message, we'd like to entitle it, Removing Your Philistines. And obviously that will give us quite a topic to impart upon this morning, should the Lord allow us to fully finish this, amen. But now this morning we want to work with a little thought about the Philistines and removing them from your life. Amen. We understand that the Philistines were actually, if you'd like to say, Israel's most well-known adversary. Amen. They were very good at what they did, and they were very good at conquering, very good at deceiving, very good at keeping a hand up on Israel, right? And we understand that perhaps not just the most well-known adversary that Israel had, but they were the strongest that they had. As we've seen many times in the Scripture, we find that it was always the Philistines who were riling up against Israel. Now, we want to take a little direction this morning as we lay a foundation, and we want us to see that this does completely talk about your life. And we want you to understand that there are Philistines in your lives. Amen. And they have, so to say, they have occupied your land. Amen. And if you leave them there, you will not be a full overcomer, but you will, succumb to the pressure that they give you. But if you would adhere to the Word of God for what it says you are to do, then you will take a rapture, amen? And that is our desire this morning is, God, I want to be ready for the rapture, God. No matter what it takes, I want to overcome. Amen. So what I would like you to be doing right now is I would like you to be putting into thought as we encounter this word of what your Philistines are. Amen. So by the grace of God, you can say, okay, I do need to drive out a few occupants in the land. Amen. So notice here as we begin to work with our scriptures that God has certainly allowed this to be a very scriptural thing, but we would like to lay down first a definition of what a Philistine means. It means simply immigrants. Amen. Something coming in. Something taking a possession. Another definition is those that dwell in the villages. But by the grace of God, an immigrant actually fills in rather well. Because there are things that were not originally there. It's funny, you know, you look at Americans and you find that a lot of times we always try to drive immigrants out. When we don't realize that we were yet an immigrant ourselves at one point in our family's history. But yet, we understand that we always would like to make devious an immigrant saying, well, they don't belong here. But yet, by the grace of God, a lot of times God has allowed immigrants to be part of a history because they derive a culture upon a people, right? But what we understand is when we look at Israel themselves, that when the Philistines took occupancy, they were truly an immigrant that would be a foe, right? They would be there to what? To aggravate, to destroy, to conquer. and to actually strive against Israel to keep them from their possession, right? And I would like you to know this morning that every demon, every principality, every ounce of unbelief that comes from your flesh is something that must be conquered, must not be allowed to stay. You must, what? You must take over the grounds of this temple and give it to the glory of God, because the thing you don't understand is that God already overcome that land, and all you need to do is what? Lean upon the everlasting arm of Jesus Christ, and the victory is yours. There is no more conquering that Jesus Christ can do for you. He has already overcome all. Enemies have been placed under his feet. So now, let us look a little bit at these immigrants and see what the scripture says about them. According to the Holman's Dictionary, it says that the Philistines are reckoned with other tribes in Mizraim, or Egypt, as descendants of Ham and as cousins of the old inhabitants of Babylonia. The Philistines literally come from Babylon. As far as by their origins, we understand that Babylon was not something that just started with Nebuchadnezzar, but is actually started with Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, right? We understand that even Abraham and his descendants were there as well. But it's interesting, they all come out of the same melting pot, so to say, or the little area that they were coming from. But when you think about the Philistines, actually, they literally come from the Egyptians as well. So we understand that these adversaries, even according to Genesis 10:6, it says, and the sons of Ham is Cush, Mizraim. Mizraim is where the Philistines come from, okay? And Phut and Canaan. Praise God. So we want to show you where these things or these people come from so that you can understand that this origin that you're looking at, it completely just ties down the devil in your life. You don't have to say, okay, this hereditary situation, it has come from my father or this or that or that. Because when it comes down to what it really is, it actually comes from Satan, right? You'll find areas now, even around Clyde area and up by Williams County, there's areas where cancer is hitting the students, right? And it's so, it's become overwhelming in those certain areas. But what do we say that is? Do we say, well, you know, it probably came from their ancestors? But no, it's just the devil that has took a residence upon certain chemicals or whatever it would be doing to what? To bring destruction to people. So now we see the same thing happening here. Is that here at the Tower of Babel and so forth with Nimrod and the gang, here comes this mighty people that are coming out. And I want us to see what kind of a spirit that they have on them, because the thing is, we would just like every little devil just to walk away. I fought him long enough. Devil, why don't you just get out of here? Haven't you had enough? Just go ahead and go. But that's not the way that God operates. God leaves things in your lives to show, to prove, to test who you are. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself because I'd like to explain this through the scriptures, okay? But now let's move in our Bibles to Genesis 21:22. We understand that Abraham would actually leave the promised land that he was called to be in several times. But yet here we find him moving into the land of the Philistines. And we want to realize what's going on here in Genesis 21:22. And it says, it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of the host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now what? Now who was Abimelech? He was the king of Gerar, or was the land of the Philistines. So the Philistines were already in the land of Israel, right? And when we read the opening scripture today, you've seen that that was part of what the promised land that God had called Israel to possess. Amen. But notice here, Abraham is a little bit farther from Jerusalem or that type of area. And now he's moving into, so to say, the Philistines' land. But notice what Abimelech sees about Abraham. The man is completely blessed. God is with thee in all that thou doest. Do they have the same God? Not that we know of. Don't think so. Or the promise would have been with Abimelech. But one thing he sees with his spiritual eye is that there's a God with him. Now notice Genesis 21:23 says, "Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned." And Abraham said, "I swear." So now Abimelech takes another step and says, "Okay, I let you stay here. I know God's with you. Will you deal kindly with me? Can you just live with me peacefully? I don't want you to mess with me. Don't bring any problems in my life." The devil knows what you're carrying, church. You can't fool God who you are. He knows who you are. You can't fool Satan. He knows who you are. The only one you can fool is yourself. But notice this. The 25th verse. Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. So Abraham was trying to set up a well, but yet the spirit of the Philistines was to try to what? To possess the stake of claim that Abraham was making. So Abraham says, "Shame on you, what about my well?" And Abimelech comes back around and said, I wot not who hath done this thing, neither did thou tell me. Neither yet heard I of it, but today." And he, in the 30th verse, moving down, he says, and he said, "For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take out of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well." Says, "Okay, I want the well. I'll give you 7 lambs." Might be a type. And Abraham, the 34th verse, sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Boy, brother, what a slow foundation. You have to understand, church, you are recognized. In the spiritual realm, you are seen as the ultimate adversary. The ultimate what? The ultimate challenge to Satan's authority lies in you. Abraham says, "I want a well." The Philistines say, "I ain't going to give you no well." The king says, "Okay, well, I didn't know nothing about it. We'll let you have that. We'll make a little covenant." So he's making a covenant already with him. Now, I want us to see this because here a covenant's made. But in Genesis 26:19, this will speed up a little bit in a minute here. But I want to lay this down because what are we seeing already? We are seeing that the Philistines do not like Israel. They do not like Israel in their territory. They don't like Israel messing with what they say is theirs. Okay? Genesis 26:19, and it says, "And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar, the Philistines, did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Issach, because they strove with him." Notice 26:21. "And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah." All right? Again, 22nd verse. So notice what Israel's doing. Here Isaac is. He dug a well. Man, the Philistines are a little bit more determined to hold on. So Jacob, or Isaac here, he backs off and goes and digs another well. Well, the Philistines want that one too. And they're willing to fight for it. They're striving for it. So the Philistines are actually striving harder to hold what? The accomplishments or what? Or the actual movings of the leadings of God upon Isaac and Abraham. But here the second well they dig, they back off again. Now, 22nd verse. And he removed thence and digged another well, a third well. And for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Okay? Now notice, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. Where's Beersheba? That was the place where Abraham dug his well. Now, remember what's going on here. I don't have this written down, but the scripture says, it says that literally after Abraham had departed, the Philistines come back around and buried the well, that the wells that Abraham made. They literally buried him back in. Filled back in his possession. Kind of counterproductive these Philistines are, aren't they? But notice, he went back up to Beersheba where the well was that Abraham put in. And the Lord appeared unto him that same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. So God comes back around to him, and Isaac says, I finally got this well. I think we finally got peace. But yet there's still something moving upon him, a little nervousness about this. And God comes to him and says, fear not. You're blessed. You're not cursed. I will be with thee. So the same thing that Abimelech seen, he's seen a living God with Abraham. God comes back to Isaac and said, as I was with Abraham, I'll be right with you. Brother, why is this important? It's so simple why it's important. Because this is what you find in your life. You find that every time you try to bring forth a well, Satan is right there to strive for that well. He's right there to try to take away that which you say is yours. But the thing is, the full possession is yours. This is where we're going. So now, let's move again in our Bibles to Exodus 13:16. So now we move hundreds of years down the road here. And I pray that you're a student of the scripture, because if you do, you'll be blessed by this. But notice Exodus 13:16. Now we see, what is Exodus? That's when Israel leaves Egypt. Amen? Years and years down the road. Now, notice what's being said here in the 16th verse. It says, and it shall be for a token upon thy hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Catch this. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Although that was near, the closest ground to the promised land junction was through the land of the Philistines. But notice what the scripture says. It says, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. God could not send Israel by the way of the Philistines because they were mean. They were tougher than the other adversaries. I mean, do you realize that God, he would send him to King Og under Moses and so forth and send him to giants and send him these ways. But God completely sidestepped the Philistines. He said, if they go fight these guys, they're going to go right back to Egypt. This is quite powerful. Because you don't understand a lot of times, but you say, oh, the hard battles I've fought. And then when you look at your current experience, you say, boy, the battles I'm fighting now just seem like 10 times harder. Well, what was it? Well, remember, this is the journeying. They're leaving what? They're going through the wilderness into the promised land. But while they're going to the promised land, God, what moves them aside from dealing with the Philistines, the harder battles, the tougher people, so that at a later time, they can conquer those ones because they would not be ready to encounter them now. Well, that's what the devil does to you. He wants to send the Goliaths right at you right now. But right now, he's only allowed to send the simple ones to you. Now, this is dependent on where your relationship is with God. You're still moving through justification? Well, trust me. You ain't fighting no Goliath yet. That's why your prophet said, he said that you don't even start to fight until you've got the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The battle ain't even begun. You know what's amazing about that? There's many of us here that say, I've got the Holy Ghost. But what will it be when that revival pours out? Is it going to be powerful? Oh, yes. But wait to see the battles you'll see there. Praise God. So now we see them going through the land and they conquer all these people. I believe it was upwards of, 33 kings or something they took out? Just a lot of them. And now they go in with Joshua right into the promised land. And when they go into the Holy Ghost move, so to say, here they are fighting, and they're fighting this victorious, flawless battle. Just overcoming and overcoming and beating and beating. And then said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. Okay? And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines. So they're running through the land, conquering. Now, what you have to understand is that when they come into the land, who was the first people they took on? The people of Jericho. Your Bible says that the people of Jericho were a strong and a mighty people. And so much that when the spies went in, they see them as great giants. But now notice, here he says, you got a lot of land to possess yet. You've been in the Holy Ghost. But yeah, you haven't took on the Philistines yet. So it says, from Shihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites, the Ashdodites, the Escalonites, the Gittites, Ekronites, and the Avites. Amen. So God anoints Joshua and says, okay, you're at peace, but there still is a lot of land for you to overcome. You can't stop here. You've seen flawless victories, but the flawless victories that God has given you are just to what? Give you experience to go and conquer the land. Amen. Well, that's what it is. When we've got the Holy Ghost, church, when you've got the Holy Ghost, this is where you're coming to. This is the greatest battle you will fight. The first battles, they might have seemed tough. But when you reach the battles that you're meant to fight, that's where the real challenge of who you are comes in. Some of us might be fighting that right now. So now we move to the next book. There's Joshua. Let's go to the book of Judges 3. Now what was Judges? It was a time when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Joshua had passed off the scene, and we find out that what Israel did is they went and they started serving other gods. Now, Judges 3:1. They started out all right, but then, of course, they moved right into serving idols. Now, how interesting this is, that they got the Holy Ghost and Joshua faded from the scene. It literally looked like Joshua faded from the scene in their life. And Caleb was all that was left. But Caleb was willing to overcome that land of the giants, wasn't he? But notice, Judges 3:1 says, now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. Now they are getting proved without a prophet. They are getting proved without Joshua being there every second to hold their hand. And notice what stage this is for them. This is a stage of constant, what? Of constant unbelief coming in and testing their walk with God. But it was ordained of God. It was a season to prove them. So notice, now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. Even as many as of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war. At the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. You didn't know how to fight before you become a Christian. You didn't even know how to fight in justification. And now, when you get the Holy Ghost, God's got to teach you how to fight. His purpose is to prove you a soldier. Take on the full armor of God. Don't fight as one that beateth after the air. You have an adversary. You know your adversary. Overcome the devil. But you know what gratifies me more in all this? Is that I know that this was part of God's plan. Hallelujah. That literally you watch the presence of God leave your life a little bit. And you're not at the same height that you were at the beginning. Brother, me and Brother Freddie are probably the only ones there, evidently. But that's all right. We're honest. That's okay. Give us grace. We'll give you grace too. But notice that you literally have a stage of your life that is far from God. You feel like you're not close to God. You see idols creep in. You see temptations overwhelm you. You see yourself doing dumb things, things that do not belong in a Christian walk. But notice what the scripture said. It was a time where you had to be a judge. And what are you judging? You're judging with the experience that God gave you to discern it. God gives you discernment for a reason. You have to choose to use it. Oh, God, is this wrong or God, is that wrong? Well, yeah. But you know what? When you've been a Christian for 14, 20 years or 10 years, 5 years, whatever it is, don't you think God can say, well, yeah, you've been reading the Bible, you've been praying for 5 years now, you ain't got that figured out yet? You have to discern whether you want to follow that word or not. And since you don't feel that numb experience that God gave you at the beginning, you don't feel that little tingle, that little push, that, you know, the push that makes you want to serve God all the way. It's pretty easy to be a Christian here when you got all these Christians here, isn't it? It's pretty good, pretty easy to be a Christian when you go out to eat with one another or you fellowship with one another. But when push comes to a shove, when you're by yourself, when you're just with your family, how do you stand for God? There's a time you have to judge this word worthy. You have to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because you know what you want when you're not satisfied with that? You want a God who does every little thing for you. When the fact is, he already did that. See the Philistines knocking on the wall? Don't let them in. Don't let them in now. So notice this. In the second verse, or the third verse, it literally comes out, Judges 3:3, it says, namely, especially, five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, Sidonians, Hivites, and Lebanon, from Mount Baalmar unto the entering into of Hormath, and they were to prove Israel by them. To know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. So why did God leave you in a condition where you would have to have still have unbelief in your life. Because it was the proof. But you literally find it. What's the proof? To prove that that little thought of unbelief trying to hold your mind back from the Word was not God, but there is a Spirit from God that would give you the strength. I know it's so easy to hear it. I know it's so easy to be sidetracked by it, but the Word is still speaking to you. There's a commandment that is still going forth. It doesn't matter how loud the devil is. You've got to accept God for His Word and stand. Stand for God. Stand for His truth. Let nothing deter you. That's why this has become so. This message has become so special to me, and it opens up to me. I'm sitting here, I'm like, God, that is exactly where I'm at. I'm at a stage where I'm judging. Why is this book called Judges? And how come we see every battle, the main battles that happened, it was Philistines. Samson, Philistines. Shamgar, Philistines. We see the Philistines constantly coming into the scene now. Now that the easy battles were over, that Joshua done helped fight and win for you, now you got to come in and show you want to be a Christian. You're leaving a stage of being a baby. Now you're taking little feet under you. I can't fight. I do have the ability. I just got to judge this. Judging, why? That's the whole thing. We read in the scripture in Exodus 23 how you had to get rid of the inhabitants because they would, what? They would influence you to marry their wives and to worship their gods. And it would become a snare unto the people. That's exactly right. So where does our issue coming in now? The issue coming in now is now we're catching influence. Seems like a quiet time. Seems like, well, things in the church are a little bit dead. That's exactly what the book of Judges was. But God would always raise a judge up, and He would do one act, and it'd prove for how many years that Israel would stay sober serving God. It was literally one action overcoming for many years. You are literally in this wilderness. What? You are living off an experience that God would give to you here and there. Overcoming the devil for you. And what? By that experience, you are judging the enemy as conquered for a time given. Until what? You'd look victoriously, and you start to die off again. And God would allow the Philistines to roll up in your life again. So now, what do I want you to see? It is the commandment level. The reason why you're sitting here right now like this is to find out whether you want to serve God or not. Is there a revival coming? I know it. Well, what's holding it back? Or what's it? It's not. Well, the first thing is don't say who's holding it back. The thing you should say is, I'm holding it back. And when you catch that, you got to say, okay. Because remember, every time in Judges, when they found themselves finally oppressed, They cried out to God that God would help them. So now, very simply, you see how God works? You realize that the main gods of the Philistines are the continual reason why Israel backslid. You see, they go serve Dagon, Balaam, Ashtoreth, and they'd find themselves completely working into these cultures and losing their grounds. Why was it bad that they were there? Because literally, their presence there would bring such an influence against the habits of that temple, the habits of that person, that it literally would draw them away from God. Well, let me ask you, what about that number one weakness you got? What does it do? It sits there. Might sit dormant for a little while. It peers its ugly head up. It makes you fall or something. Then finally you get sick and tired of it and you go, boop. You knock them back down. You stay down for a little bit. You come back up. He's constantly striving against your progress in God. Because you must be proved to be a warrior. Are you bride material? How do you establish that you're bride material? Oh, I believe God sent a prophet. I believe the seals are open. I believe the church ages. That's not how you establish you're the bride. But when you watch, you take that word and allow that word to live through you, and it shows itself for exactly what it is. And what? When it shows itself, it doesn't show itself as knowledge. It shows itself as a revelation of what it is. Well, how say you? Well, that's what we're talking about. There should be a lion roaring out of you. There should be an ox coming out of you. There should be a man coming out of you, a good man. The good anointing. Not the other anointing, the good man. There should be what? An eagle. What? Showing itself in the midst of you. Flying above it all. So now, I want to read. I'm doing a timeline sequence here. I know this is kind of teaching. But I want you to see where we're going with this. Because here we have the full book of Judges. We understand that when Samson died, he killed more Philistines in his death than when he lived. A great destruction upon the Philistines. But do you think the Philistines were done yet? Nope. The Philistines were just going to recover and just keep on fighting. They're a good adversary. They're there to fight them pretty good. Now, I want us to reestablish this, because what happened with Abimelech? Abimelech said, okay, I know your God's real. You know what? Be nice to me, because I know your God's real. So let's move a little bit down the timeline here in 1 Samuel 4:6. Catch this out. He says, and when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout. Now remember, the Philistines just got done beating down Israel. Israel retreated. They said, okay, we need some backups. Let's bring the ark out. And now Israel, they bring the ark out and they give this great shout. So in the sixth verse, it says, when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. They knew. just by the sound of the noise. That what? That the living God, they still had etched in their mind that Israel had a living God. Why? When Shamgar killed 600 or 700 people, what? They knew that was a real God. When Samson, what? When he pushed the pillars down and killed all their brothers and sisters, they knew God is a real God. Hallelujah! He was still the same God. Anointed, even though they knew it was real God, anointed to fight that real God? Wouldn't you just get to a place in your mind at some point in time where you say, if you can't beat him, just join him? It's been a pretty cliche statement for many, many years. You'd think that people, you know, it didn't just come from like the 70s here, but it probably should have started way back long ago. But we understand these things were done for a time. To show you the persistence of the foes that you fight. Right? We pray for deliverance. Does that deliverance always come around the spot? Never. Sometimes I wish it would. Sometimes it has, but it's very rare. Because the reason why it's there is to prove you love God. But here the Philistines are, hundreds of years later, from their ancestors, still recognizing that God's real. Now notice this, they say, in the 7th verse, says, and the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. So they recognize that beforehand, God wasn't in the camp. And they said, woe unto us. For there had not been such a thing heretofore. Oh no. You realize? Do you understand how Satan works? How many times you have to read your prophet says that Satan knows he's almost done. When he sees faith rising up, he says Satan knows he's almost done. He's getting ready to leave. But and then we take this mindset, yep, he's just going to walk right out. He's getting ready to leave. You know, he's out. That's not how Satan works. Well, look what the Philistines did. 9th verse says, be strong. Quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, and they have been as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. They don't care if you have this great sound coming from you. They don't care if you say you've got victory, you've got faith building up. They're still going to challenge you for everything you've got. You can't say, I feel it, it's over. That's what Israel felt. They seen the ark and they felt an overcoming spirit coming around. Yeah. We're going to get them. But still, what? They let down the bars. They still had sin in the camp. They still had fear in their hearts. They still had a predestinated loss coming their way because they weren't right with God. So now, it picks up. And the Philistines, they're willing to go toe to toe with you until they're dead. Now, why is that so significant? Is literally because they said, as they have been our servants, let's not be theirs. Who have you been serving? With that sickness or that oppression in your life, what are you doing? You are serving that spirit. Say, oh, God knows. God does know. God allowed it there. But God gave you the strength to kick the devil out. But you have to be willing to fight. You got to be willing to do the same thing Joshua did. Son, stand thou still. I'll put the the time in. I'm tired, but I'll keep fighting until the enemy is completely destroyed. Why don't we have victories like that around here? Because you're not willing to pay the price. Say 10 minutes, that's good. Half hour, that's good. You look at all these revivals that happened in the past, like the Baptist one with that Smith guy. Well, he prayed all night long until he's in the morning and he couldn't even open his eyes up because his eyes were swelled shut from the tears. I want deliverance. I want a revival. Yeah, he did too. He got his. How's yours going? Might have to actually do something like he did, didn't I? Because if you ever step on the same ground that God moved in someone else's life, God will move for you. He has to. So it comes down to, okay, yeah, I'm still judging this thing. Still okay to live with this thing. Even though the Philistines are deathly afraid of you. They know when you've got God and when you don't have God. And they're still willing, even when that anointing is there, to try to fight through it. Oh, I love God. Thanks for the battles, Lord. I love them. It is so good. So notice they tell them, quit yourselves like men. Fight, Philistines. 10th verse, Philistines fought and Israel submitted again. And they fled every man to his tent. There's a very great slaughter for their fell of Israel, 30,000 footmen. And we understand what happened. They lost the ark. The ark had to go live with Dagon. It's hard times for Dagon. Hard time for the people in those cities because they had hemorrhoids. Or herpes or whatever it was. I can't remember. But this is what I want you to see. Now, what you see is what? That God does not allow the Philistines to come out at the beginning of the Holy Ghost walk. But he allows you to walk through a little bit and judge things. But now we're moving into the dispensation of the kings. And God sends a prophet. Okay? Now this is before the prophet had fully come forth. And then now they're trying to fight with the word. But they have nothing to back up that word. Because there's still sin in the camp. So God then comes back and now raises up a prophet. Prophet, give them the word. Give them the right hand. Prophet, what? It's the opening of the word. Okay? 1 Samuel 13, 19. All scripture, huh? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I just love the word of God, but I don't like my Philistines. Well, they're not your Philistines. Get rid of them. Start fighting. Yeah. It's doable. You were made to be an overcomer. Oh, I went to the wrong passage. 1 Samuel 7, 13. Oh, I love the word of God, don't you? 1 Samuel 7:13, it says, so the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. From Ekron unto Gath and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there is peace between Israel and the Amorites. So what? Everything that was taken away by the Philistines was restored under the prophet. With the prophet brought the restoration. And all his days, the devil was subdued. But notice, so Samuel, old, stricken in years, passing from the scenes. Saul failed God, let down the bars. Now we see some battles with the Philistines ain't quite going so well. And the Philistines actually kill Saul, kill Jonathan. But now, watch a change in the seasons. Because now we find that here comes David. I said this, that's what I was saying earlier. Kind of, sort of. Moving off subject. Kind of, sort of. David, the type of Christ, comes in. And when Israel is not willing to stand, David stands. David takes on the primary giant, Goliath, which Goliath actually means the passage or the revolution. Now, from what I've read, 40 days, Goliath stood tempting Israel, saying, bring it, you dogs, wimps, scum of the earth. But there come a David who, after that 40 days, would take on that devil. Who was a Philistine? So notice, before this, we find the Philistines are not revered as giants. But now, at the coming of David, now they manifest themselves as a giant. And we see that no man was able to stand. No man was worthy. No man was what? Was willing to pay the price to take on the giant. But one man stood against all of them. He stood against the greatest giant to face Israel to this time. And he conquered him. Took him down. And with that starts the greatest revolution in Israel's history. Why say you? Do you understand? Because I don't want you to change subjects. We're talking about the Philistines in your life. But when you couldn't conquer the Philistines, when you weren't able to overcome or overwhelm the Philistines in your life, there was one who stood up. He was young like a lamb. And he came with the anointing and overcome the Philistines from that day forward. Saul says, you can have my daughter if you'll get 100 foreskins of the Philistines. What does he do? He goes and gets some foreskins of the Philistines. He is fearless before the enemies because he has found the same God that can take out a bear, take out a lion, take out a giant, will preserve him to the fullness of the kingship. So, church, when it comes to the end of the road, where is your deliverance? You're called to judge it. You're called to discern it. You're called to stand by that word. But at the end, your deliverance can only come from David. Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
You know why I said that? Because we get ourselves in this place of saying, God, I'm fighting this thing as hard as I can. God, I've been fighting this forever, Lord. Feels like forever. And you get victories and you lose. And it's just an ongoing cycle. And you feel like, God, it's too much. But you were never made to overcome it. You were made to fight it. But the full overcoming to free, what was this? This was the full freedom of the land. All the way from Joshua through the judges to Samuel. Now to David, it has took this long to get all the inhabitants out of the land. You say, oh, I've got the Holy Ghost. Praise God, you might. But just because you have the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that there aren't testifying and there aren't things that will continually mark and fight you. But if you're depending on the right source, your deliverance will draw nigh at some time.
Amen.
Amen. It has to. Why? Because Christ bought you. He redeemed you.
Amen.
He purchased your land. You didn't even purchase your land.
Yeah.
What did you do for your redemption? Say, God, I accept you. That's all you did. Fight these half victories too, I suppose. But that's okay. Because this is coming down to a greater satisfaction to God. God doesn't want you to be your own deliverer. He doesn't want you to think that you're, well, I overcome. I walked right away from that. Ha ha. But I thank God for what I fight. Sure beats a lot of other things he could give me. Some of the stuff I walked around and looked at, oh, I don't want none of that. Thank God. What'd you rather have? But, you see, it took David to drive out, namely, significantly, those Philistines. And they manifested themselves in the fullness of the power of what they were when David come on the scene. Oh, hallelujah. Now notice 2 Samuel 8:11. I'll be done. Give me 10 more. We only got one today. Come on. I haven't seen you yawn for a little bit. Praise God. 2 Samuel 8:11, it says, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and the gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued. He was a subduer. Of Syria, Moab, Ammon, of the Philistines, Amalek, spoil of Hadazer, son of Rahab, king of Zobah. And David gat him a name when he returned from smiting the Syrians in the valley of the Salt, being 18,000 men. And he put garrisons in Edom throughout all Edom, put he garrisons, and all they of Edom become David's servants. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. So notice, it was the Philistines who said, you're our servants, and we don't want to be yours. But when David come on the scene, he put all of them as his servants. Which means that those things that you're fighting right now, God has left them there, but they're still his servants. Oh, that pride. Oh, that lust of flesh, lust of the eyes. Oh, hallelujah. They're God's servants. Fifteenth verse. And David reigned over all of Israel. And David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. Judgment, justice. Oh, hallelujah. Now, notice, they had fully given themselves to David, though. Okay. Recapper here. 1 Kings 5:3 says, thou knowest how that David, my father, could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side. So there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And we'll stop right there. So who put all the devils under? Who put all the enemies under? God did. Now, can I take this one step further? I'm only going to go as far as I can go with this, because it's not fully revealed to me. But now let's open up our Bibles. 2 Samuel 21. Second Samuel 21, verse 15. It says, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. And Ish-Bibenonab, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, and being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, succored him, comforted him, and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Who was the light of Israel? David was. Now notice what we see coming on here. We see that God is now, after Goliath, he's now sending forth another giant. Okay? Now let me just read all this. I'm going to read all this and then I'll come back and go with it. 2 Samuel 21, 18, it says, and it came to pass after this that there is again a battle with the Philistines at Gob, that Sibekai, the Hushathite, slew Saph, which was the son of the sons of the giant. Another giant. And there is again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jerogim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Another giant. 20th verse. And there is yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers. And on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. Kinsmen. They were of the same kin as David. Notice, 22nd verse, these four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Notice, it says first, they fell by the hand of David. But then it says, and by the hand of his servants. So notice that David first, he comes against the first giant, the great giant made known to Israel, wanting to take over all Israel, and David slew that giant on himself. But then there would be four more giants that would come after the church. Four more, not just giants, but Philistines that would fight to try to hold the church back. Now, this is what I find so amazing about this, is we literally find that when the first giant, the second giant would be after Goliath, come forth to fight the church, it was a passing from the legacy of David to the church. Amen. He was the light of Israel, but it was time for the servants of David to fight the giants themselves. When beforehand they would not fight, now when they sing the word, going down, they stepped up to the plate and they secured that word. Well, that's what the horns was. Remember, the scripture said that you are the horns. You are there to uplift the word. He uplifts you. You uplift him. But notice, they said, you don't need to be here anymore, David. You're the light. Now, as we go on to this, I want us to look at the name, because actually, one of the ones that inspires me the most of David's mighty men was Abishai. He was always right there. He was always fighting it. I mean, he was the one that actually, if I'm not mistaken, he was the one that said to Shimei, he said, David, let me go cut his head off. I believe when David cried out, he wanted a glass of water. He was the one that smote through the line of Philistines, got him a glass of water. The man was fearless. He followed that anointing. But the funny thing is, maybe not funny, but the name Abishai actually means my father is a gift. You have to watch, because remember, when Satan brought four horse riders out, God would step up to the plate and send something to fight that. And first we see Abishai coming up, and what? His name means my father is a gift. That is his representation. That is what he is bringing forth. He was bringing forth the gift. Now, like I said, I can't fully go into all this because I don't fully understand it. But the first giant which he did fight was Ish-benab, which means conversion and taking captive. It's exactly what the white horse rider did. It was a thin line conversion. It was working upon God's children. Now, next, we see that a second giant come to fight. And we realize these scriptures are very small, but the key of it all is you have to see that there was four and four. David got the credit. He got the credit for killing him, but the servants did the work. Now notice here, the second one that come forth was Sabekai, which means a weaver. A weaver is a worker. The ox was a worker. It was a laborer. Now, I can't, like I said, I can only go as far as I understand. I'd love to take it a lot farther than what it is. But, you know, the thing of it is that when you see this in your life, you see that God will raise the spirit to overcome the battles which you fight. He's already ordained all of this. Notice, of course, Saph was the giant he fought, which name means rushes, he that rushes, which is what the red horse did. It killed. Next, we see, well, that's what the Middle Ages was. He done killed everybody. Notice, we have again, said in the 19th verse, another battle. It says, Elhanan, he fought him. The name Elhanan means grace. Means grace or gift of mercy of God. Which is what the man age brought in. It brought in the grace back on because what? It was a move of justification. No legalism needed anymore. It was a work of grace. And the giant that he fought was Lami, which means my bread. It's fighting the word. Because the man age was what? It was the intellectual age. It brought forth what? The grace of the word. The restoring of the word was in progress. But now we see it's combative. Now this is what I like the best. This is all right. The last giant, he was not given a name. All we know is that he was exceedingly fierce. He was of great stature. But the scripture says that Jonathan went and killed him. Jonathan means given of God. But there's a few things you have to know that Jonathan was the best friend. Now, this is a different Jonathan. But Jonathan was the best friend of David. But what I'd like you to see is that here he was a kinsman. He was actually part of David. He was out of David's lineage. And it was given of God. And he went and smote the last giant, which was exceeding great stature, had six fingers on each hand, had six toes on each foot. And what? Six is the number of man. Now you might say, I hope this is all right. I said 10, but I went 15 or 20. But here is the whole point of all of this. You watch the scenery through the conquering of the Philistines. It was a long, long period. But when it was made manifest who David was, he was the King of Kings. He was God. He was Jesus Christ. Then what? They worked off the anointing of that king. And they conquered every giant that come to them. But it's nice to be kin. You love God? So you have to recognize where you're at.
Are you going through a judge's stage right now? You feel like you're fighting all by yourself? You can't find much anointing? You can't find much God? And you're just, oh, God, and you're just fighting. Well, yeah. You're being proven if you're in this or not. Don't worry, son or daughter of God. You are made to overcome the giant. It's yours. It's your victory. But you must rise through it. God already sent you a prophet. But now, God has given you Christ, that anointing to make you win. Let's stand. You say, you only go so far with a lot of things. But I find the coincidences to be unbelievable. I said, sometimes a prophet, he went through and he didn't go through everything. I just can't give you some names and show you what they mean, because what I find often is whoever wrote those names, what they mean, they usually match perfectly with what they're supposed to be. But the key of it all is, do you recognize that there are Philistines in your life? Do you still find them at the borders of your relationship with God? Because the promise was little by little. But do you realize that God has already beaten them for you? All you need to do is keep on serving Him. Keep on fighting. Because this is to make sure that you are a warrior. God ain't letting babies up into the promised land. We got to be willing to fight. You got to be willing to say, devil, you've met your match now. It's on. Where's your first love? Where's your allegiance lie? You love God? It's finished. It's finished. You're free. You say, oh, I still feel them Philistines there. That's okay. The battle's already over. David already won it for him. But what you have done, you say, okay, David, you have to come on the scene here. You've already given me the anointing. I'm going to fight through this. You've secured me. I'm going to secure you. Amen. I am the horn. I am the power to the beast. You are the giant slayer. You are the giant killer. It's your victory. Unleash it. Conquer those giants. Take them. I don't care if it's a religious spirit. It's just another giant. It's just a big giant. Take them all. How many love God? You understand what's preached? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. If you've realized that you have Philistines and you know you need to get rid of them, won't you just reach out to the Lord now and ask God to help you overcome them? Place it on Him. It's His battle. He's the King. He'll fight it for you. As we pray, Lord Jesus, how we love you today, God. God, just a little simple message, God. But God, how it rings through, oh God, so perfectly through the Scripture, Lord. And God, how we see, Lord, little types and shadows, God, and little signs, God, that, Lord, you always have been there to overcome these devils for us, God. And God, you would to leave these things in our life, God. Oh God, these temptations, these lusts, these battles, God, and allow them to stay, God, that we would have something to fight to win for you. Simply, God, as we come before you this afternoon, we dedicate ourselves wholly to you, God. God, I can't beat these Philistines. I need the King to rise on the scene, Lord. God, Lord, you have ordained me, Lord, to be the servant that slays this, God. But God, I need that King in his position in my life, God. I need to be fully submitted to him. Fully know why I'm in this battle. Fully know why it's there. It's there to overcome, God. Reveal the word to your children, Lord. God, we all have things to overcome, Lord. Help us, God, we pray. God, I don't want any immigrants in this land, God. I'm tired of letting Satan control this vessel, God. I'm tired of allowing this serpent, this flesh, to control me, God. Lord, I want to let the King have his fullness in me now. God, take control, Lord. I pray thee, Lord. Thank you for the word, Lord. Continue to reveal it here, Lord. Show us your mind, God. Show us your power. Show us, oh God, a God in action. Lord, give us strength, we pray. Heal us, God. For the glory in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, if we could. We bow our hearts. I just love that song so much. You look like I beat up your Philistine. You shouldn't look like he looks, though. You should be happy. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm not that long-winded of a preacher. Sometimes God's a long-winded preacher. Got to recognize who he is. Amen? Be happy to pray with you if you need prayer today. Pray you apply the word. We bow our heart. We bend our knee. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast out our idols. Lord, give us clean hands. Give us pure heart. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Oh, give us pure heart.
Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. the victory is won. It's already done.
Sing that again. It's already done.
Oh, and it's already done. My Lord, it's already done. Amen. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done.
Sing that again to our Lord. It's already done. Sing that song, "We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder," amen. Amen. How many think they make a good soldier, amen? With our Lord at the helm, we can make good soldiers, amen.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Oh, we climbing Jacob's ladder. Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder.
that song, we'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Amen. Amen. How many want our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as their light, just like David was the light of Israel? Amen.